It's now Saturday, the 8th of July 2017. We are here in Hamburg, near to the Central Railway Station, and the supposedly last big demonstration, international big demonstration, anti-G20 demonstration is about to start, maybe in 1 or 2 hours, and already many people have gathered here and are waiting for the start of the demonstration. What do you think? What is your general impression of the G20 protests so far? Both of us have been here since Wednesday, and Saturday now we have seen lots of different sides of protests and actions. Would you like to tell a little summary of what has happened so far in Hamburg?
Well, I think it's important to remind that some of the protests started already before we came down here, and there was the protest camps which were evicted, and that was already something that put a little bit of tension on the forthcoming events. But I think we've seen a variety, tens of different demonstrations. We've attended just a few here, but I think in the ones we've attended, I would like to point out two which have been very successful. There was the first night's street party, which was very inclusive, and it gathered a lot of support by bystanders through the neighborhoods we passed by, and people joined in, and it was about 20,000 people on the move. That was a very, very, very good demo. And the other one which was really successful, which I would like to specifically point out, is that the blocking action on Friday morning, where we, with a multitude of tactics and blocks and blockades, managed to disrupt the traffic and to some extent the meeting, which was the general idea behind this protest, to be able to disrupt the ongoing very highly anti-democratic protest by a few world leaders, few dictators amongst them, to get other voices heard in general in society. And in order to do that, there is a need for some sort of disruption, and these blocking actions were really successful in doing so.
And the people of Hamburg, I would say, have been very supportive for the protests.
Well, most definitely in the neighborhoods, where a large proportion, as the center of the city has been an empty zone with very big like anti-demonstration zones or no demonstration zones. That's also why it's been important to try to break the blockades, so that the right to protest itself is defended. There was a huge attack on the right to protest in general before the meeting, when the demonstration were forbidden in general in a very large area. That was then deemed unconstitutional in Germany, and then it was revealed, but still the center has been quite empty. So within the residential areas, namely in São Paulo and around, the residential support has been huge to all the demos I've been attending.
The police seem to try to continue with this total denial tactics on Thursday when they stopped the big demonstration. How do you see the actions of police during these days?
Well, yeah. They first of all evicted tent camps and which was completely uncalled for earlier. Then this Thursday, the Welcome to Hell demonstration, I think that was the first kind of large-scale police operation where they went in to stop an entire demo and kind of attack the demo. According to German public broadcasting company, it was a police attack that started without the demonstration even moving and not participating in any sort of rioting or such. And so the police went in with water cannons and riot gear, and that kind of started the unrest for that day.
So that was the tactics of the police. And we, did you see a connection also between the actions of police on Thursday and the almost riot-like actions of protests yesterday on Friday?
Well, I think you can say that there was riots yesterday. It was, very easy. There was something on Thursday evening, I think, as well, after the demonstration was stopped. But I don't know. I cannot comment on that. It's difficult to say, but one would assume so. one would assume so that when there are, what is interesting is that police has been treating all demonstrations basically the same, because also on Thursday after the initial demonstration was stopped, the black bloc was kind of like dismantled. Then the demonstration tried to continue on later on by other people, and there wasn't according to the German public broadcasting, the problem was, according to police, that some people refused to take off masks. Then when these people had been attacked and driven and pushed away, basically, why couldn't the demonstration then continue? That was a attack on right to demonstrate.
Yeah, and that is something we have seen during these days, that the police has had the idea that the demonstrations have to be stopped immediately. Let's see if that happens also today. I assume today the demonstration is allowed to go through the city.
Well, yeah, this is a very big demonstration. I mean, there's the figures and demonstrators in the city is very difficult to estimate, as there are so many different demonstrations and have been so many different demonstrations going on the whole time around the city in different parts, and also as bigger groups of people have been kind of like scattered after police operations many times during the days. But like newspaper estimates put it at like 100,000 demonstrators in the city. It's, from where we're standing right now, it's impossible to say how much people will be here and how in such a large group of people, it's impossible. From the sides, you'd have to take an aerial picture or do some other kind of counting to estimate that. But it looks huge right now, and I'm sure that the demonstration will be able to go away as planned. And atmosphere is really good here, and in many of the actions have been very colorful, like the street party, the rave. Rave demonstration and the blocking actions, and like colorful and like a multitude of movements coming together from their own perspective to point out some of the problems of this G20. But I think the kind of like problems of G20, problems of global capitalism, we have to discuss in a further in like other context. I mean, right now it's just interesting to think about what this kind of like these demonstrations does to the movements, and this is like the biggest protest action in Europe for a very long time. That, I don't know if that can be a start for like a new like, I mean, well, I don't know why I have to say new. The movements are there, but like, we need to strengthen these social movements, and of course it's not only about gathering together at summits, because politics is much more, but how can we take with us some of the motivational, inspiring elements we've shared here in Hamburg to in our other work, and that's something that should be discussed more in activist circles, I think.
You have already mentioned some. Do you want to think about the goals of the protests one more time and try to gather the ideas of what are the central goals of these protests we have been witnessing these days?
Well, I refer to some of them, but I want to comment specifically on why I don't see it as making a lot of sense in commenting the riots specifically, because that's what the only thing that large proportions of media has been commenting on right now, and that's we have to put forward the other protests we are doing here, because they are, although as not photojournalistic, they are why the majority of people are here to protest, and I think they have been commented on by almost everybody. I don't see I can kind of like add to that in a very like I don't have anything to add to what has been said in the discussion regarding that, and I think it's more interesting to try to discuss how we can build inclusive movements than to comment on specific parts of a very small parts of a extremely large mass mobilization. And I think people's actions speak for themselves. And there are people whom are basically, yeah, their actions speak for themselves, and it's not like effective to counter their actions if one would want to do so by blowing it out of proportion, as has been done in media, as some media cite 1,000 people rioting, some media cite 3,500 people rioting. I have no idea what the figure is, but there's 100,000 people protesting. So I think this should always be put in proportion, and if you want to discuss this as a whole.
And can I ask some more general questions?
Yes.
One very general question for the start. How would you describe the current state of global capitalism? If that is, let's say, in the big picture, that is why we are here. We are protesting against the current state of global capitalism, which is hardening and worsening all the time.
I think this discussion around the right to demonstration is highly symbolic here, because that is like a foundation of this liberal democracies, late capitalist states, whatever we want to call them. And at the same time, we have a longer period of austerity that's been going on. And on the other hand, we have seen stronger tendencies towards authoritarian capitalism in a different way, authoritarian than the societies we live in most parts of Europe. And I think this, for example, Erdogan, after all the protests surrounding him coming here, or Putin and Trump being all chums yesterday, that's kind of like that's a kind of threat to how we organize in general. And this a more authoritarian tendency is needs to be countered with mass protest and holding on to the liberal rights, as right to demonstration, freedom of press, right to assembly, so on, while we push for more emancipatory politics and broader social rights. And of course, there's a question of European, on European scale and global scale, two different contexts, but this austerity policies affect everybody the same, affects everybody not the same way, but the logics behind the decisions and the austerity policies are affecting people around the globe. And then again, this, if we allow these policies to become even more authoritarian, there is very little possibilities of changing the current state of affairs. So in that sense, protest is in itself is important, but then like specific political demands, that's I think that's something we need to, of course there are major global issues like the climate change and migration issues and like free trade issues and all these things, but I still think a lot of those also need action on local scale. I mean, I don't have anything new to add to this discussion at this point. I would have to like prepare a bit better for that, but like here at the starting demonstration, this is about as much as I can come up with.
And what about the G20 forum? How do you see their goals? What are they working for during these days they are gathering here?
Well, I mean, everybody can read the news what they are formally discussing and putting forth. But this is a highly undemocratic kind of world leader forum, which. Just keeps up the status quo, and I think it's important to kind of use these platforms for also starting societal debate in a broader scale.
And the mainstream media, we saw this morning the German newspaper Bild saying that nothing stops left-wing hatred. Well, that might be like the very most brutal way to express the mainstream media perspective. But in a broader scale, also the mainstream media has reported almost only about some violent protesters. How would you describe the behavior and the actions of mainstream journalists and mainstream media?
Well, I think how you phrase your question there is a fundamental mistake, because as we read today, yesterday, submachine guns and special forces stopped the demonstration. So I think something stops them anyway. And I think it's one should not be disillusioned that rioting will disrupt in this sense that threaten the state violence monopoly as we saw yesterday. It won't happen, and well, I think I don't know if it should happen. I don't think so necessarily. But I mean that there is no way of like having a constructive political debate, like through the context that these newspapers put forward, because they focus on just actions, some specific particular actions between masked demonstrators and masked police, and that's it's not really. As I mentioned earlier, there's very little one can comment on that. It's like everything has been said about it.
But so the mainstream media seems. Do you see any hope in that, or is it like so deeply in the mainstream media, in the bourgeois media discourse, that it's ideologically for the official institutions that. That debating in that framework, do you see that we should also be active on that front, or just turn our backs for the mainstream media, so to say? Is it a lost battle?
I mean, if newspapers want to report, they report, and there are the news criteria which very much guide what newspaper write, and that's of course what sells guides that a lot. But the problem is more like when something becomes news big, then starts the commentary, which kind of like verifies the one-sided truth of the events, because that's what was widely reported and not what was the majority of the happenings, for example, or the proceedings. And I don't know, I mean, this And then there's the other question, is that are the news like, do the facts stick and what the perspective is? But there's several different approaches to how demonstration news could be like analyzed into pieces. But this quite narrow perspective on the events, and then how that becomes the history of the event later on, that is I think some of the problem in how things have been reported now.
But it seems so that there is a lack of let's say emancipatory or protestive journalism. So well, we try to work on that field grows in the future, that we are not so much dependent on the let's say official journalists. Just to a little, if you think, well, we have a little more time for discussion.
I think we should go to the demo soon.
Yeah. Okay. So just shortly, two general questions here for the end. What do you think? Yes, about the current state of mass demonstrations. You shortly already touched this theme earlier, but can you repeat your idea? What can we achieve here that we cannot achieve elsewhere?
Well, it's a long time since I was at a big mass demonstration last, or sometimes, and that wasn't it wasn't nearly as big as this. But I think that the important thing what we can achieve here is networking with each other, and come up with new ideas on how to carry on our work, political work in daily lives, in our daily routines, and on the other hand, discuss approaches that have worked elsewhere in political work, and then on the other hand, discuss the need for transnational mobilizations in the future, which is, for example, in climate movement. It happens a lot already, of course, but it's very important in the labor market. Here in Hamburg, we had the blockade of the harbor of Hamburg, where there was dock workers together with activists working as there were some demonstrators there connected it to an ongoing labor dispute and so on. And there, here in these kind of cases, it's clear that we have a need for transnational mobilization of movements, and these kind of mass summits are basically the only way I know that it has happened on a massive scale.
And if you would have to name one the most central theme for the progressive movements at this very moment, what would that be?
I refuse to name one, as there are so many important themes. I mean, everything is linked together in a complex and a global world. I think it would be kind of, yeah, I cannot name one thing. I mean, how can you not name the environment? And then if you name the environment, what do we do with an environment where people have no rights? It doesn't make sense.
So the very last question, what would be your greetings for the emancipatory forces of the world, for the revolutionary people of our times?
Stay true.
As the first question, I'd like to ask just a very general one. Why are we here, in your opinion? in more detail to say how do you see our goals and tools to achieve these goals, and how are we succeeding at the moment?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say hello to everybody who listens this broadcast. We are standing here in Hamburg at the crossroads of Reeperbahn and Zirkusweg, which is Circus Street, I guess. So that's an interesting place to be, at the crossroads, Circus and Reeperbahn, famous Reeperbahn. Why I am here, I could say, first of all, very personally, that I came here because I could. I had some summer holiday from work and also from home work. So I've got two children, and I've quite intensively done salaried work and homework last years, and now this was my opportunity to come to spend some of my own time. But on the other hand, shouldn't that be that way, to mix personal life and political life and to live political life? Shouldn't it be really this way, that political activism, if we use that concept, is mixed with our own lives? But that is my personal reason to be here. I came to spend some holiday and to participate in these protests against G20.
And as a participator of these protests, how do you see our goals and tools and succeeding at the moment?
Well, in more general terms, we are here, of course, to demonstrate that G20 is not legitimate from our point of view. It is not in our name. And we are protesting against what G20 demonstrates. Globally, it's a global power, and what we at least can do, as we are many and multitude here, we can make it symbolically and concretely by our bodies visible that G20 doesn't represent us.
So, and this situation, what we are witnessing here just next to us, is that the demonstration is trying to start, but the police is trying to stop it.
Okay. Now we also have to secure ourselves, because police probably is also attacking after this victory that the protesters got from police. Now police disappeared from the place and escaped from the scene. And now demonstrators are taking the street behind us, or in front of us. But the police in Hamburg during these days have been very active in dissolving demonstrations. Active, really, I mean, police has taken an initiative and actively destroyed demonstrations, attacking demonstrations and separating masses from each other. So they have had really active role in Hamburg. So I guess that is also what we will see during this demonstration quite sooner or later now.
So what do you think? What are the motives of the police? Is the police force that is behind these actions, of, let's say, a very hardcore conservative one?
Yeah, well, police secures G20 summit, of course. That's what police has been asked to do here. So that's quite evident that they will secure G20 demonstration. On the other hand, I think they are also actively showing their power, because they can. They dissolve demonstrations, destroy or try to destroy demonstrations, organizations, because they just show power.
But can we think that mass demonstrations at the moment in Europe, they face very aggressive repression?
Yes, it's evident here that police has not given any place for demonstrations. Already yesterday, even if
main media in its headlines tries to say, claim that demonstrators were the active part in attacking police. That is not what happened. We were there witnessing what happened, and that was the police, first of all, declared that this demonstration has to be dissolved. Then they declared that masks have to be unmasked, and then after that they attacked. So police have been the one who has concretely thrown the first stone.
And this demonstration, it looks like that the police didn't manage to stop the start of the demonstration, but if I understood correctly, also this demonstration was forbidden from the police today. Is it like that the demonstrations from now on are completely forbidden in Hamburg?
I haven't followed official news, and I don't have any inner information about that, but that is also my understanding, that police has declared all demonstrations illegal at the moment, and all has from formal point of view cancelled. But how can you cancel nearly 20,000 people, 10,000 plus people in Hamburg has came to demonstrate against G20, so you cannot cancel people who are here. So people are walking on the streets and demonstrating.
But do you see a connection between the aggressive repression from the police and the hardening social situations in Europe and worldwide?
Probably there is. I don't know if I have any clever saying about this, but I think police and powers behind police forces see that there is a possibility that there will be mass reprisals. There has been Arab Spring in 15 different local protests against New World Order. There was global movement some 10 years ago, and so on. So I think they take it seriously that when something is uprising, they try to smash it. It's quite simple strategy to smash.
What would you say if we take part in the demonstration, because it has started very successfully now, and continue the interview later?
Okay, that suits to me. So we will go walking.
So there's a little while after the last interview or the situation we talked together. The few hours have passed. Do you want to give a short resume, or how do you say, a short summary from that, what we have experienced or what has happened in Hamburg this Friday afternoon since we talked the last time?
Okay, so it has passed 3-4 hours when we were starting this discussion at the corner of Retterbahn and Zirkusweg, and now we are in the harbor area, and basically the demonstration went through the city and had clashes with the police, and we've had a kind of running competition with some police forces that are attacking the leftist corners or district of Hamburg. And now we are sitting in the park where police is, okay, now the police is again rushing behind the scene. They have these kind of 10-20 heads groups, like affinity groups that target patrol around the area and spread violence and fear basically amongst the people. They attack randomly this and there, not so much hitting people, but running and scaring and making people run.
So has your perception or idea of the police changed or your feelings sharpened against the police during the past few hours?
No, I guess they are continuing the strategy that we that has been evident already from the beginning, that they are like dissolving groups, hitting masses and making masses disperse, so that everybody spreads to different directions. So this has continued through the day. Now what happens in the evening is another thing. I guess different clashes will continue in the side streets, and police probably will have punishment of this kind of punishing groups circulating around the area. And now we hear some clashes behind the quarter.
So there are some street fights might be in the near future and even in the near past. Do you have spontaneous feeling, idea or suggestions for others how to orientate to this sort of street battle situation?
I'm not any consultant or good advisor, but what comes into my mind is the heritage of white overalls that was about mass civil disobedience during the global movement, meaning Gothenburg, Genova and Prague, where white overalls, this collective, organized collective disobedience against and protective self-protection against police violence. Now what we see here is that there are some groups, black groups that, dressed in black, that attack police directly, insurrectionists, who definitely at the end of the day don't have power to meet police force, since police has that kind of vehicles and other forces that they can always employ. And then we see groups like running and dissolving when police attacks and spreads fear. So one kind of answer to this would be to organize collective disobedience that would be self-protective and somehow imitating what white overalls tried to do 10 years ago. So mass civil disobedience, peaceful maybe, but also active and not like passive.
But spreading fear seems to be one of the central strategies of the police.
Yeah, at least I feel so. Not so feared, but or fearful, but however, it seems that they are trying to make people scared and all the time run away.
Well, that goes hand in hand with a very general way of means of power, or with a very general way of how do you say it, to use power in the society.
But yeah, you could see an analogy that it's not about police mass attacking masses of demonstrators. That has also happened, but now what we see in front of us is that demonstrators have disappeared into the streets around the corners and district, and policies are organized as minor groups, 10, 20 people, fast cars, moving very fast from a quarter to another and making people run, as I repeated sometimes.
So this sort of situations are also part of our society, it seems.
Seems like a guerrilla strategy that police is using at the moment. There are guerrilla groups circulating around the corners and punishing people.
So let's think a little while about this G20 conference, or however that is called in English language, get together of these 20 richest countries in the world. What is your general impression? What are they trying to achieve with this meeting? What is going on there?
Okay, yeah, there's two general points to say about G20. First of all, G20 is a forum, group of 20 is a forum that was established 1999 as a continuation to G8. That was a smaller group of powerful, economic powerful countries. And now G20 includes more economic powers, also so-called developing countries. But what is the point is that the G20 is not based on any kind of formal legitimacy. It's not elected into power, but it has been formed as an ad hoc formation. So it's a forum. You could say it's a capitalist council. The 20 most powerful economic countries, including European Union, negotiate about the balance and future of global economy. So it's kind of imperial power in the sense that Antoni Negri and Michael Hart have discussed about imperial power after imperialism. Imperialism was based on powerful countries, but now we have these ad hoc forums and networks and capitalist councils. Then another thing to say about G20 is that this is more like a claim that has been now raised also here in Hamburg in Global Solidarity Summit. That was also a forum before these demonstrations that was organized by European civic associations. What was taken into consideration there was that G20 is and is probably becoming more and more important for global capitalist economy, since global capitalism is devolving into crisis. So the main task of G20 is to negotiate about how to balance capitalist contradictions globally and how to secure global growth and capitalistic growth in the times of global crisis. It's not only about economy, but it's also about climate change and so on. But however, it's about saving capitalism.
So it's no coincidence that we and lots of others have gathered here in order to protest against this forum.
This was the idea of Negri and Hart, that if capitalist power is more organized as network power, also counterpower has to be organized as network counterpower. And I guess this is somehow evident here in Hamburg. If that is enough, that's another thing, but it is at least necessary.
Yeah, I'd like to ask one question about mass demonstrations, about the current state of mass demonstrations we are witnessing at the moment. But in your opinion, can we achieve here that, and what can we achieve here that we cannot achieve elsewhere?
Well, we can't face global superpower like this G20 forum elsewhere, because it doesn't gather locally, but it organizes this kind of global meetings. So also, if we organize direct counterpower to that, we also of course have to organize at least European-wide counter protests against and face the forum here where it gathers. We are the crack in Hamburg that makes evident that at least from our point of view, G20 is not legitimate. And we also create concrete concrete obstacles to G20, at least kind of cracks, how do you say it, since they have to secure themselves, they cannot have their forum without massive police forces securing their peaceful or I don't know how peaceful they are, but however negotiations that they have themselves. So we are like a pain in their ass.
What about the mainstream media? We have been following a little bit what they have been reporting from these situations we have faced here in the streets of Hamburg. The mainstream media is concentrating in its reports to the violence of protesters, and not so much to the violence of the police, or of course now of the violence of capitalism, which actually is the violence which brings us all to this situation. What do you think of the behavior of, let's say, mainstream journalists or the mainstream media at the moment?
I haven't had time to follow mainstream media a lot nowadays, but as far as I have tried to follow Finnish media, how Hamburg protests have represented in Finnish media, it's quite clear that Finnish media repeats the same old story that there are violent clashes and they make large titles, headings about protesters who attack police violently, and then police have to like secure people and forum and make protesters to behave. So they create very simple and naive stereotypes which try to illegitimate protests and try to show protesters as a problem and not as protesters as making problems evident or visible. So media shows protesters as a problem and not problems as a problem. Well, on the other hand, that is also what also has to be pointed out is that probably protesters themselves lack of their own media strategies to make different representations visible. Social media gives gives us some opportunities, but however, of course, main media has a hegemony representing public images, and now it seems that in addition to that main media is representing naive and stereotypical images, it also serves police forces and forces behind police. It seems that the main media repeats what is said in the police reports. It seems, at least so when I read those Finnish newspapers, it's like you are reading police reports and police point of view what has happened. So media serves police.
One or two more general questions about the current state of progressive movements. In your opinion, what are at this moment the most central themes or questions or challenges for the progressive revolutionary movements of our times, of these days, of where now?
I would also myself like to ask that same question to the protesters and to the contemporary social movements, because I do not really know, and I'm not really also more informed after the Global Solidarity Summit that I participated here. There was lots of discussion, but for me it kind of seemed a little bit that discussions there repeated same old stories and, for example, socialist rhetorics and slogans and so on. So there was not much new analysis. There was not much discussion about the precariat or cognitive labour or even common resources. And there was not discussion about municipalities, which has been some kind of a new idea that has been around in the discussions when I met my old comrades from the movements here. So municipalism, common resources, connected to that kind of local autonomous economies is one that is somehow becoming. But in general, I'm also like making this same question as you are, and I would be pleased to be more informed what is important. I would be pleased to hear from others.
So this question and its answers are not very clear at this moment for us as anti-capitalistic groups or perspectives, or people with these perspectives.
Probably not clear, but then on the other hand, of course, we can also think that, okay, they are not clear, and that is good, because that also says and means that we are not ideologically in some sort of religion, that we would know the truth already before we ask the questions. So to be confused is also, at least if it is somehow positively thought about, and it's also a state of creativity and possibility. And possibly the answer is just to live our lives and think about what do we need. For me, it has been, for example, trying to build up new cooperatives and cooperative networks in Tampere, where I live, that somehow connects to municipality theme. Not very strongly yet, but maybe it's becoming this kind of new local economies and collectivities and solidarities that are concrete part of our everyday life.
So are there other greetings you would like to send for the revolutionaries of our time, if I may use this sort of big words?
Yeah. Now I've been quite long enough, and maybe we could end up with a very short slogan that comes from David Bowie, and it's Rebel, Rebel.
Oh, Achtung!